This morning I'm going to continue on the series Take Courage, and Pastor Steve has done the series for the last month or so, and he's really just talked about the importance of having vision, of dreaming big, of having a God-given dreams, and of making sure we eliminate the dream thieves in our lives, we overcome that, and we pursue the wonderful things and that God has for us. And the theme scripture that he's used is Psalms 126, verse 1 to 4, and it says, "It was like a dream come true when you freed us from our bondage and brought us back to Zion. We laughed and overflowed with gladness. We were left shouting for joy and singing your praise. All the nations saw it and joined in saying, 'The Lord has done great miracles for them.' Yes, he did mighty miracles and we are overjoyed. Now, Lord, do it again. Restore us to our former glory and may streams of your refreshing flow over us until our dry hearts are drenched again." And God really has wonderful things in store for each one of them. And this morning, I want to continue talking about vision, but just the importance of having the right picture in your heart. Because I believe when it comes to receiving from God, it has a lot more to do with getting what is already inside of us simply to flow out of us than it has trying to get things from the outside in. And I've entitled my message for today, Inside Out, because I believe the kingdom of God is really an inside out one, not an outside in one. The Bible says that everything that pertains unto life and godliness, God has already deposited in us. So everything we will ever need in life, I believe, is already on the inside of our born-again spirits. The moment we got born again, God gave us a brand new spirit. It got sealed with the Holy Spirit. And anything we'll ever need is already on the inside of us. We simply need to learn how to draw it out now and how to get it to manifest in the physical realm. And I believe what I'm going to share today will really help you to get the wonderful things that's already true in your born-again spirit, to get them to become a reality in your life too. Because it's about turning our God-given dreams into a reality. Many people have wonderful dreams, and I believe some of those dreams truly are from God, but it never becomes a reality. But God doesn't give us a dream just for it to be a fantasy. He wants it to become a reality in our lives. And I really what I'm going to share on today is such a key in seeing our God-given dreams become a reality. And I've entitled it Inside Out, getting it to flow out of us and drawing out what's already on the inside of us. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." And the word keep there also means to protect. So it's saying keep and protect your heart. Make sure what you put in your heart is the right things. Make sure that you protect what goes on the inside. Make sure you guard what you believe in your heart, because from there everything in life flows. The Passion Translation renders it, "So above all, guard the affections of your heart." And the affections of your heart, they talk about the desires of your heart and the beliefs of your heart, the things that you see on the inside and that you believe on the inside. And it's saying, guard them, for they affect all that you are, and pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. So everything in life flows from what we believe in the inside and what we see on the inside. Pastor Steve always says that it's not just about hard work, it's about heart work. See, many times when people want to receive something from God, or they have a dream of something that they want to experience or achieve, they always think it's just about working harder. And I'm not saying there's not a place for that, but many times it's more about working on your heart. Not on your physical heart, but your spiritual heart. What you believe and what you see on the inside. And from there, the Bible says everything else in life will simply flow out of, whether it's good or bad. And Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." So whatever you see on the inside, whatever you believe on the inside, will be a reality in your life. I've met people, some of them were very beautiful people, yet they had a stronghold in their minds and they believed that they were ugly. And they saw themselves as ugly. And therefore, that was their reality. They thought they were ugly, even though the truth was that they were very beautiful. I've also met people who were very slim, very thin, yet they believed that they were fat. And it didn't matter what anyone said, that's how they saw themselves, that was a stronghold in their minds, and therefore it affected them. So it's so important what we believe and see on the inside agrees with the Word of God. Because see, what we believe or see on the inside don't change the truth. Truth is what the Word of God says. But if you don't see and believe the truth on the inside, the truth won't affect you in your life. You won't experience the wonderful things that God has for you. Because that scripture says, whatever you believe on the inside will be a reality to you. As you think on the inside, so you will be. Even if it's something that's not true, that will be a reality to you. So it's so important that the affections of our heart, the beliefs of our heart, the things that we see on the inside, agree with what God says about us. Because that is what we want to experience. That is what we want to become a reality in our lives. But if we want it to be a reality on the outside, we first need it to be a reality on the inside. If you can see it on the inside, it will manifest on the outside. The reason why many Christians fail to experience some of the wonderful promises or dreams or visions that God has for them is because it never becomes a reality on the inside. The scripture says, as you think in your heart, so you will be. So if you want something to be a reality on the outside, you first need to make sure it becomes a reality on the inside. And then it will flow from the inside out. Romans chapter 8 verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And to be carnally minded there is not necessarily talking about being sinfully minded. It can include that, but it's just talking about being minded more on other things than the Word of God. And what it will produce in your life is death. And it doesn't just talk about physical death, it's talking about everything that's under the curse. Everything that will eventually lead to death. And that includes sickness, it includes poverty, it includes anger, depression. And the Bible says to be carnally minded, to be focusing on the wrong things in your heart, will lead to that type of death. But to be spiritually minded will produce life and peace in your life. And it's so important that we become spiritually minded in all areas of life. Because sometimes we can be very spiritually minded in one area, yet very carnally minded in another. For example, you might be very spiritually minded when it comes to your finances. Whether you have a lot of finances currently or not, you believe what the Word of God says, you say what the Word of God says, and you see yourself as prosperous. So you are spiritually minded regardless of your circumstances. Yet when it comes to your health, you might be carnally minded. You might always speak as if you are sick. You might always see yourself sick, and therefore you are carnally minded, and the Bible says that leads to death. So it's important that we become spiritually minded in all areas of life because it produces the results that we long for, life and peace. And as we think in our hearts, so will we be. So we need to be spiritually minded, word-minded on the inside, and then it will manifest on the outside. And I want to give you an example of someone in the Word of God that was truly spiritually minded. He didn't ignore the facts. He didn't ignore the challenges or the things that happened on the outside, but he chose to focus more on what God said. And he chose to be spiritually minded by focusing more on the spiritual realm. And that was the prophet Elisha. And I'd like to read to you out of 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14 to 16. And it says, therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And this is talking about Syrian soldiers, and they were opposed to the prophet Elisha, and they wanted to attack him. And then in verse 15 it says, and when the servant of a man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So I'm sure the servant of Elisha was panicking here. He saw all the soldiers and he went to the prophet and he said, what are we going to do? There are a lot of soldiers out there. And this was the response of the prophet Elisha. And in verse 16 it says, so he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now I'm sure in the house of Elisha there were more people than just the servant. But when the servant had this conversation with him, it was only the two of them. Yet Elisha responded by saying, there are more with us than there are with them. And then in verse 17 it says, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And then the Lord opened the eyes of a young man and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So I'm sure when the prophet first told the servant that, listen, we have more with us than they have with them, he must have thought this old prophet is really losing his mind here. And then he prayed that the Lord would open his eyes. Now, how many of you know that his eyes were already opened? I'm sure they were wide open when he saw all of those soldiers. And when I get to heaven one day, I'm going to ask for a DVD to see exactly what happened there, because I really believe the servant was freaking out. But Elisha responded by saying, listen, there's more with us. And then he asked God to open his eyes. And he asked God to open the eyes of his heart. See, we all have pictures on the inside of us. We all look with the eyes of our hearts too. And it creates a picture on the inside. And Elisha was spiritually minded in this instance. And with the eyes of his heart, he saw all the angels that were around them. All the angels that God sent to them to protect them and to help them. And he chose to look at that, to focus more on that than the soldiers that were on the outside. And when he prayed for the servant, God opened the eyes of his heart, and all of a sudden he became spiritually minded. And he became aware of all the angels that were around them as well. And to be spiritually minded always produces life and peace. And the Bible never says that we ought to ignore facts or challenges or things that come against us. But it does say we need to be spiritually minded by focusing more on God and his promises and his faithfulness than we focus on the problems or the things that we go through. We need to become spiritually minded, and that is what I believe will help us to overcome challenges too and to see the promises of God manifest in our lives. In my own life, at times, I've been through challenges, sometimes through financial challenges, other times through health challenges. And usually when I went through one of those challenges, I would sense the Lord say, Janu, I want you to become so spiritually minded, not by ignoring those challenges you go through, but by focusing so much on my word and my promises that you almost forget about the challenges. And I would tell the Lord, Lord, I know that's the right thing to do, but I'm really struggling with my health, and it's really hard not to focus on it or not to be aware of it. And then I saw a testimony, and I actually showed it at Healing School this month. It was of a man who was diagnosed with some kind of cancer, and he had a massive tumor here in his neck. And the tumor became so big that he had to wear a bra just to keep the thing up. Now, can you imagine how humiliating that must have been for a man to wear a bra just to keep the tumor up? And you know, I'm not saying we shouldn't cut those things out, but in his instance, he just didn't feel peace about doing that. And then eventually he got a hold of some teachings where they explained that God wants us well, that we are healed by the stripes of Jesus. He got a hold of it. He started to meditate on it. And he became so focused on the word of God that he started to forget about the tumor. And after a while, the thing got smaller. His wife would help him, and she would notice and say, listen, the thing is becoming smaller. And he said, well, of course it's getting smaller because God has healed me. And eventually, the thing just disappeared, and there's no tumor in him anymore. And it happened because he became spiritually minded. And he made the statement. He said when he got a hold of a teaching of the word of God, he focused so much on that he actually started to forget about the tumor. And as I watched it, I felt the Lord speak to me. And he said if that man with that massive tumor that was a reality in his life could become so spiritually minded that he forgot about it, you can become spiritually minded in any challenge too, in any circumstance too, by focusing on my word. Not by ignoring the facts, but by exalting the truth of my word. And as we become spiritually minded, as we see ourselves the way God sees us on the inside too, it will always produce life and peace. And if we can see the promise come to pass on the inside, it will manifest on the outside too. It will become a reality on the outside too. But we need to see it on the inside first. And maybe many of you have a big desire to become spiritually minded, especially in all areas. And maybe you've tried it many times, but you feel like you failed. And you want help this morning. You want to be more focused on the promises of God and what he says than anything else. And I believe what helps us to become spiritually minded and to be focused on God is his word, the written word of God. That is what helps us to be spiritually minded in life. And in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. We could say in the word of the Lord too. And then it goes on to say, and in his law or word, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. If you have a desire to prosper in every area of life, you need to delight yourself in the word of God. Meditate in it, plant it in your heart. And as you do, the word of God will start to change the picture that you have on the inside. and it will start to agree with the Word of God and what God says about you. And the result will be you will be fruitful, you will be successful, you will be prosperous, and you will see the promises of God come to pass in your life. In die Afrikaans sê dit, welgelukzalig is die man wat om verblij in die woord van die Here. Welgelukzalig is my so lekker woord. En ek denk as Afrikaners gebruik ons hierdie woord helemaal te min. En ek het in die eerste dienst ook vir die mense gesê, as julle uitgaan vandag en die mense vraag vir julle hoe gaan dit, dan moet julle sê dit gaan welgelukzalig. Maar die woord sê ons is welgelukzalig wanneer ons verblij in die Here en daaroor nadink. Blessed is the man or woman that delights himself in the word of God and meditates in a day and night, because that is what will cause you to have a right picture on the inside and to see yourself the way God sees you. And in Psalms chapter 2, the very next chapter, the Bible says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And here, the word imagination was used in a negative context because they imagined a wrong thing. But the Hebrew word therefore imagine is the exact same Hebrew word that was translated as meditate in Psalms chapter 1. So it's what we could interpret from that is that we need to use our imagination to see ourselves in line with the word of God. And imagination is not a wrong thing. It can be used wrongly, but it's a gift from God. And we need to use it to make sure that we see ourselves in line with the word of God on the inside. That we use it to see the right thing, to see ourselves as prosperous, as walking in the promises of God with our eyes of our heart. And the word of God helps us to do that. And in Mark chapter 4, Jesus shared a very important parable. And I would encourage you to go and read the whole of Mark chapter 4. And he basically told a parable. And then he said that the word of God is like seed. And he said that there were four types of ground representing our hearts. And three of those types didn't produce any fruit. Not because there was anything wrong with the seed or because there was anything wrong with the word of God, but because there were things in their hearts that blocked or hindered the word of God from producing fruit in their lives. But then Jesus said in verse 14 and then 20, the sower sows the word, so the word of God is like seed. And then he said in verse 20, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So the word of God is like seed. And when we plant it in our hearts, it grows. And as we water it, it will always produce a harvest. But we need to plant it in our hearts. I believe God has already given us everything we'll ever need on the inside, as I shared earlier. And I believe two of the ways we draw it out is first of all by praying in tongues, praying in the spirit. And then the second thing is to plant the word of God in our spirits, to plant it in our hearts. As we do it, it will activate the things that are already a reality on the inside of us. And it will cause it to flow out, to manifest on the outside, and it will become a reality in our lives. But we need to plant the word, because as we plant the word of God in our hearts, even if our hearts aren't good soil or good ground for the word yet, it will cause it to become good ground. And the moment it becomes good ground, the only thing you need to do is to plant the word in your heart. That will change the way you see things in your heart, and then things on the outside will change too. But it's seed, time, and harvest. And just like in the natural realm, it's impossible for conception to take place without seed, right? It's the same in the spiritual realm. We need to plant the seed of a word in our hearts if we want to conceive a miracle. There's only been one virgin birth, and the birth of your miracle won't be the second one. So if you want to give birth to a miracle, to a blessing from God, you need to plant the seed of a word of God in your heart. And then it will produce a harvest. And then you will experience the things that God has for you. From the inside out, it will simply flow out and you will be able to draw out what's already a reality in your life, on the inside of you. And I really believe this is something that will give you a long-term solution too. Because in praying for people, I always tell them it's not just about getting healed, it's about staying healed as well. It's not just about going from miracle to miracle, because if you're always going from miracle to miracle, you are going from crisis to crisis. And that is not God's best for you. If you need a miracle today, I believe God wants to provide a miracle. He wants you to experience that miracle, but His best is to live in His blessing, where you don't even need a miracle anymore. And the key to get to that place is to plant the word of God in your heart, so that it changes the way you see things on the inside, and then it will change things on the outside too. Sometimes people just want a quick fix, and every time they have a challenge, they want someone else to pray for them. And I love to do that, and God works through other people. But if you want to consistently experience God's best in your life, you have to plant the seed of God's word in your heart. There's no other way. We can't cheat the system that God has put in place. So if you have a desire to see God's best in your life, plant the seed of his word in your heart and allow it to change the way you see things on the inside so that it agrees with what God says, and it will transform your life and it will help you. In John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." He's saying here that the word of God is spirit and life. To be spiritually minded is to be word-minded. And when we are spiritually minded, it always produces life and peace. And in Afrikaans said it, "Dit is die gees wat levend maak, die vlees is van geen nut nie. Die woorde wat ek tot julle spreek is gees en is lewe." So when we plant the word of God in our hearts, it's always going to produce life and peace. If you don't like what you're experiencing currently, maybe you need to change what you allow in your heart. Because the moment you plant the word of God in your heart and you become more spiritually minded, it will always produce life and peace. It will always produce the wonderful things that God has for you. In James chapter 1, verse 23 to 24, it says, "You become like the person who looks in the mirror of a word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of a word." It's saying you have a word of God is like a spiritual reflection that will show you how God sees you and that will show you who you really are in Christ. So I'm going to make a statement now, and I don't know if you're going to believe me. A lot of the people in the first service didn't believe me. Hopefully you'll believe me. But I have never seen my body the way you are looking at my body right now. I've never seen it the way you are seeing it right now. Now, I know what I look like because I've looked into a reflection. I've looked into a mirror and I've seen myself on photos. But I've never seen myself the way you are seeing me right now. So if I want to know what I look like, I need to go to a reflection. And it's the same in the spiritual realm. If we want to know who we are in Christ now, how God sees us, and the dreams that he's placed in us, we need to go to the Word of God. That is our spiritual reflection that will show us what is the reality in our lives and what's the reality in our born-again spirits. And that will cause it to manifest in our lives. So if you want to know how God sees you, how he feels about you, don't just go to your feelings or what other people said. Go to the Word of God and allow it to change the way you see things on the inside, and allow it to change your beliefs on the inside. It's a spiritual reflection that will never lie to you, and it will show you what God says about you. So go to the spiritual reflection and allow it to show you who you are in Christ now. Because in Christ, we are more than conquerors, the Bible says. We are altogether victorious through Christ. But we need to go to the spiritual reflection to be reminded of that and to allow the word to change the picture we have on the inside. And this morning, I just want to give you four quick things that I believe you need to have a vision for specifically. Like I said earlier, we need to become spiritually minded in all areas of life. And I believe there are many more areas that we need to become word-minded in. But these are four that I believe are very critical and important. And we need to make sure that this is a vision, a reality that we have in our hearts, and something that we are intentional in developing on the inside. And the first one is your relationship with God. You know, as we started the new year, we also approached the new decade. And I always like new beginnings. I like fresh starts. And I started dreaming about this year and this new decade and all the things I wanted to do and achieve and experience. And as I did, I just felt like the Lord whispered something in my heart. And he said, "That's awesome. Dream about those things. But there are two things that I want you to prioritize this year. And I want you to allow that to be the biggest dreams you have in your heart." And those two things were, the first one was to become even closer to him and to become more like him. And I believe when we get those two things right, a lot of other things will just fall in place too, and we will grow in it. So I want you to see your relationship with God as a thriving, intimate relationship, something that you dream about on the inside. Maybe many of you are hearing God's voice clearly. You are having an amazing walk with him, but dream about hearing him even more clearer. Dream about experiencing his love even more in your life. Dream about flowing in the gifts of the Spirit in your everyday life. And I believe as you do, it will become a reality in your life as well. And as that becomes a dream, a vision you have in your heart, I believe it will motivate you to spend time with God. In my own life, what I've done many times is when I didn't get too excited about reading the Word or spending time with God, I would just take time and dream about my relationship with Him. How it feels to be close to Him. How it feels to experience His presence. How it feels to hear His voice. Just Him whispering, "Sometimes I love you." And all of a sudden, it created a desire in my heart to spend more time with Him again. So in everything that you have a vision for or every dream that you have in your heart, make sure your relationship with God is the most important dream you have and one that you never stop growing in. Jesus said in Revelation 2, verse 2 to 4, and this was something that He actually said to a church, to a New Testament church. And He said, "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." So He's commending them here for everything that they are doing, everything that they are standing for. But then in verse 4, He says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." So in the pursuit of achieving your dreams and going after all the wonderful things that God has for you, don't neglect your relationship with God. Don't let Him ever say to you, "I love what you do, but I have this against you, that you have forsaken your first love." Make sure that is the most important thing in your heart, something that's alive in your heart, and something that you continually dream about, getting closer and closer to Him. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, the Bible says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." So many times we want to know what our individual callings are, what God wants to do specifically through us. And that's wonderful. That's something that we need to discover and go after. But here the Bible says, fellowship with Jesus is also a calling. And I believe it's the most important calling in our lives. If you don't abide in this calling, you won't be effective in any other calling. So make sure you see it as a calling to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. And you never stop growing in it. And something else that I believe we also need to have a vision for is our relationships with people. But I believe as we grow in our relationship with God, it will positively affect and impact our relationships with other people as well. And we've started a series recently in our evening service on healthy relationships. And if you haven't been to it, you need to attend it. It is awesome. And relationships are so important. It's not too late to join. But I believe as we grow in experiencing the love of God, it will become so much easier just to give that love out to. Because we can't give what we don't receive from God first. So many things in life will just become better as we continually grow in our relationship with Him. Then the second thing that we need to have a vision for and make sure that we see rightly in our hearts is our health. So how do you see your health this morning in your heart? If I were to ask you to rate your health from 0 to 10, where 0 is you are so sick, you're almost dying, and 10 is you so healthy, you can't get any more healthier, where would you rate your health this morning? And they did a survey in America, and they found out that the people that didn't rate themselves very well, usually were the people that got sicker more or more occasions, or they were usually the people that struggled more with symptoms. And many people will say, well, maybe that is because they are sick. And I'm not saying we're ignoring that. But what I want to encourage you with this morning is to see yourself as the healed of the Lord resisting sickness and not as the sick trying to get healed. I hear people many times say, "I am sick," or "I am this," or "I am that." No, that's not who you are. You might be struggling with it. I know symptoms are very real. I'm not saying we're ignoring it. But see yourself as healed, the healed of the Lord resisting that sickness. And as you do, I believe the health that's already a reality on the inside of you will start to manifest on the outside too. How do you see yourself? Because as a man or woman thinks in their hearts, so will they be. Because the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, "Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we having died to sins might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." And the word healed in Greek is the word ihomai. And it was a word that they borrowed from the medical profession to describe the physical healing or curing of a human body. So that is not just talking about spiritual health. It's talking about physical health too. So in reality, we are healed by the stripes of Jesus. But if that's not a reality in our hearts, it won't be a reality in our lives. We need to see ourselves as healed, and then that will flow to the outside as well. If you can see it on the inside, it will manifest on the outside. Then the second thing that we need to have a vision for is our finances. And in 2 Corinthians 9:8, I believe the Apostle Paul is reminding us what the will of God is concerning our finances. And he's saying here, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work." And in context there, the whole chapter was talking about finances. And then out of the NLT, it reads, "And God will generously provide all you need, then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others." Sometimes people try to be humble and they will say, "Well, I have more than enough for my own needs. All my needs are met, so I don't need more." And it sounds very humble, but that is actually being selfish. Because the Bible says God's best is for you to have more than enough for your own needs and enough left over to share with others. Blessed to be a blessing. That is God's best for you. But let me ask you, how do you see yourself on the inside too when it comes to your finances? If I were to ask you to rate your wealth today, some people would rate themselves so poor, they won't be able to pay attention to what I'm saying. And that is why they're not prospering on the outside. See, even if you are facing financial challenges, God wants to help you. But you need to start to see yourself as prosperous. And as you do on the inside, it will become a reality on the outside. When I gave my life to Jesus, soon afterwards, I sensed that there was a calling on my life and I felt like God was calling me to preach His word. Now, at the time, I hated speaking in front of people. I didn't consider myself to be a good public speaker, but I was sensing that's what He wanted me to become. And I went to Bible school, I got training, it was wonderful, but I didn't start to see myself speaking in front of people when it actually happened. I started doing it immediately, as soon as I felt like God told me that was what I was called to do. And even in my first year at Bible school, I never preached in front of people, but I would use my imagination, and in my heart, I would see myself preaching His word. And I would think about the scriptures that I would use, how I would start the sermon. And when I eventually started to preach, it didn't feel like it was the first time. You know, even nowadays, people would ask me after I did my first marriage or wedding or after my first funeral, they would say, "How was it since it was your first time?" And I would have to remind myself that it actually was my first time because it didn't feel like it because I already went there in my heart. And it made it a lot easier when it actually started to happen. And that's true in every area of life, including your finances. If you will start to see yourself prosperous, if you will start to speak the word of God as if you were prosperous, calling things that be not as though they were, like Abram did, it will start to become a reality in your life too. If you want to change the outside, you need to change your beliefs on the inside and the way you see things on the inside. As you do, it will change the outside too. If you can see it on the inside, it will manifest on the outside. And go for God's best. Don't just believe Him for enough. Believe Him for extra so that you can be a blessing too. Someone once told me that, "You know, Yano, we are poor, but we are very proud." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, God will deliver you from both." So there's no humility in being poor. That's not what God wants for us. And I'm not saying we should start to become lovers of money or greedy. I am so against that. And the Bible warns us against that. But when your purpose is or your desire is you want to become a blessing, then you can and should believe God for financial prosperity because your motives are right. And the word of God says here that God will make all grace abound toward you, that you always have more than enough for every good work and enough left over to share with others. That is His blessing. That is His best for you. Are you seeing that on the inside? As you do, it will become a reality in your life. And then the last thing I want to share with you this morning that I believe you need to have a vision for is your local church. And next week, when we do our Vision Sunday, Pastor Steve is going to talk about where we believe God is taking us as a church and the vision that we have for our church. But I believe every member and everyone attending the church should also have a vision for the church, what you want to contribute to the church, what you want to do at the church. And I'm not just talking about giving financially or serving physically. That might be a part of it. But I'm also talking about praying for your church, encouraging your leaders, having a desire to see the church grow and reaching more people. And not just your local church, but the church of Jesus Christ. But that should be a vision that you have in your heart too. And this is the reason why 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Notice it's not saying as each pastor or as each church leader or as each full-time ministry worker has received a gift. No, as each believer has received a gift, minister it to one another, bless one another. But see, the gifts that God gives us still need to be developed too, and we need to grow in them. And at your local church, it's the best place where you can develop and discover those gifts and flow in them to be a blessing. In the NLT, it says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So God doesn't grace us with gifts to use them as trophies or for us to look good. He gives them to us so that we can be a blessing. And one of the motivational gifts, for example, is to be an encouragement. And sometimes I love just to hang around certain people because they always encourage me. I always feel uplifted as I just spend time with them. And whatever motivational gift God has given you, use them well to serve one another and to be a blessing to others. And as it becomes a vision and a reality in your heart, I believe you'll be such a blessing to people around you. Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous will prosper, and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. You know, I haven't been in ministry that long, but one of the things I've learned is that the happiest people are usually the people that care a lot about others, and they live to be a blessing. They don't just live for themselves. And I believe when you have a vision for your local church, a vision for the kingdom of God, I believe as you live to give to and to be a blessing, you will be refreshed as well, and you will become happier. Brian Houston of Hillsong Church said, find a local church, pour your life into it, and you'll never be the same. So have a vision for your local church to pray for the church, pray for the churches in Neisner. I'm not just talking about our church, but if you feel called to be a part of this church, have a vision for it. And ask God what your part is to play in it, even if it's just to pray for our church and to invite people to the church. That will be awesome too. And I believe the more we have a vision for the local church, the more we'll invite people and be intentional in reaching people for Jesus. Amen? I want to close with this story, and I believe this will illustrate well the whole principle of seeing the right thing on the inside and then it will manifest on the outside. At GLS in 2017, there was a pastor of Nigeria. He was one of the speakers. I believe his name is Sam, Pastor Sam. And he told a story of a young boy that was still at primary school, and he had a desire to be good at high jump. He was very determined, and he tried, and he wasn't too bad. But the moment they set the bar a bit higher, he struggled, and he tried again and again, and he just couldn't get over the bar. And he was very determined. He didn't give up, but he just couldn't get over the bar. And his coach called him, and he said, listen, boy, close your eyes and imagine your heart going over the bar. So the boy started to do that, and he would close his eyes and imagine his heart going over the bar. And then he tried again, and he actually got over the bar. And the coach called him, and he said, son, I want you to learn a great lesson today. Whenever you want to do something or whenever you want to experience something, throw your heart into it first, and your body will follow. See it in your heart first, and then it will become a reality on the outside. So that is my encouragement to you today. Whatever you need, or if you feel like you're not that spiritually minded in a certain area, start to become spiritually minded in it. Start to see it in your heart and throw your heart into it, and it will become a reality in your life. And you will start to experience God's best in your life in every area. Amen?